Yes, I'm interrupting myself again. Why? Because year-end giving is so crucial. And I just checked my calendar. We're at the year end. Hey, lo and behold, for my KJV friends, lo and behold, we have a match giving campaign right now. That means every dollar you give will be doubled, which means your impact will be doubled, which means 2026 could be even bigger than 2025. 6 podcasts, all ranking in the top 5%. Books published with HarperCollins, resources. All of our store is now shut down and everything there is free. Courtesy of our gospel partners, we're going to go to 12 campuses next year. If you'd consider becoming a year-end gospel partner, would you please consider doing so? If you're already giving to your church, of course, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate. Thank you.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do it. What voice is that? I don't know what just came out of me.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Wow! This is amazing. I don't know how this technology works because, you know, it's mailbag day. We open up the mail that you send to either idea@wretched.org or that you text to 877-282-2337. And look at that. Just boom, like that. I get a text from John MacArthur. Don't ask me how that works. Right, there it is. John MacArthur. It's even got his picture connected to it. Don't mind the fact that it was a meme sent to me from Bart. Nevertheless, I just got a text from John MacArthur. So I'm sticking with that one. And I'd like to read it because I think it is worth pausing for a moment to suggest we pause. Let me explain that. Here's the text or the meme from John MacArthur. Punishment in hell is defined by the word Ionios, which is the word eternal or everlasting. There are people who would like to redefine that word and say, well, it doesn't really mean forever. But if you do that with hell, you've just done it with heaven, because the same word is used to describe both. And when it's right next to each other, as it is in Matthew 24, you've got yourself a perfect Greek parallel. Some will go, those on the right, to everlasting life. Those on the left, they go to everlasting damnation. So if damnation isn't everlasting, nor is everlasting life, and we know that not to be true, don't we? John MacArthur continues, but I'll go beyond that. The same word is used to describe God. And so if there is not an everlasting hell, then there's not an everlasting heaven, nor is there an everlasting God. I affirm every word of that. Why? Because I happen to believe in the historic understanding of the eternality of hell, what we would abbreviate as ECT, eternal conscious torment. John MacArthur's meme is making the rounds, almost certainly in response to the little growing pain who has stirred up a kerfuffle on the internet because Kirk Cameron has come out to say, I no longer hold to that position. I believe in something that today is being called conditionalism. The historic word is annihilationism. We need to know what that doctrine is. We need to get that and understand that, because I fear, most likely, there are people out on the internet, they're probably firing the heresy arrow at Kirk as we speak, labeling him as a heretic or as a compromiser. Conditionalism, rightly understood, annihilationism, same thing really, some nuances. But basically, the idea that God at some point in hell snuffs you out based on how bad you were, that you no longer have any consciousness, that doctrine, while I totally disagree with it, and the church has for 2,000 years, not everybody in the church has held to ECT. Some of the early church fathers, but more recently, John R.W. Stott has held to annihilationism. The doctrine on the face of it is not heretical. Is it wrong? Yes. Could it be heretical? And the answer is yes, just like anything. Like you can be off on something that isn't like on the face of it, an heretical doctrine. But if your reasoning or the way that you arrived at that conclusion compromises a cardinal doctrine, well, then yes, it would be because it is manifesting something that is sub-Christian, meaning sub-Orthodox in a salvific way. But on the face of it, conditionalism, again, I'll say this emphatically, I totally disagree with it because I believe it actually does compromise the nature of God because it waters down the offenses that we commit against him. He has been so offended by our sin. Why? Is it because our sins are so spectacular? Not really, frankly. It's because they were committed against one who is so spectacularly holy. That's what makes them such an abomination. They were committed against God, the high, holy, eternal one. Therefore, the punishment for those crimes committed against our sovereign is eternal conscious torment. To believe that God ultimately snuffs them out, I personally think, is to minimize the transcendence of God and focus too much on the immanence of God. We're Martin Luther. Aren't we? Well, we're not, you know, Martin Luther, but we're the man Martin Luther described when he said the Christian life is like a drunken man who mounts a horse, falls off the left side, gets back up, gets on, and falls off the right side. We just bing, ding, 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 ding. And we can do that with the character of God. We can focus too much on his transcendence, ignore the immanence. We can focus too much on the immanence and ignore the transcendence. We got to watch for these ditches. I believe that those people who believe in conditionalism, they probably could use some bolstering in the transcendent, the holiness of God. Because then eternal conscious torment is perfectly right. And it also makes the gospel shine even brighter. And that's where then you can look at the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, the softer attributes of God. We've got to be careful in our balance. The question now, of course, is what do you do with a Kirk Cameron? I would suggest you don't call him a heretic, but might I suggest in this instance, and before you bark at me like, hey, why are you giving him a pass? Well, I think I just made it clear I'm not giving him a pass, but might I suggest in this moment, we actually wait. We wait. Why? Well, I think in general, that this would be a good time to do that. That it's just, it would be a good time to not be so quick with our responses and not be so typical of our social media dialogue that we have where it's just bing, bing, shooting at everybody and just, you know, firing from the, hey, what do you mean? The little growing pain doesn't believe in eternal conscious torment. Hey, I'm going to, you know, we'd write off. I think we should be waiting anyway. That advice, by the way, comes from John Newton, who, if you recall, John Newton wrote to another Calvinist preacher who was going to write a public critique of an Arminian pastor in London. And John Newton said, slow your roll, slow down. Before you do that, you need to think through a lot of stuff. So we're talking about a brother here, and I think that Newton's advice, I think, applies to us, that we slow our roll. That's been one of our discernment rules here at Wretched for at least 15 years. We don't need to be commenting on things immediately. And then there would be a secondary reason where I think that we could wait in this instance. And it's because I know Kirk. And I know the people who know Kirk. I know Kirk to be thoughtful. I know him to be deliberate in his thinking. He doesn't take these issues lightly. I don't think this was something where he's like, hey, this is just going to light up the internet. I'm going to get a ton of YouTube views on this one. No, he probably knew that he'd get pilloried for it because he's convictional and he believes it. And he has thought it through. And that means that if the people who know him reach out to him to talk to him about it, he's going to think it through. He's going to listen and he's going to engage in conversations. I know it. I know it because I know the people who know him. And I know that they're going to, they haven't told me. I know they will. And they'll have conversations about this. And I don't know that it will happen. But what if we spend the next 60 days just banging away on Kirk Cameron? And then he comes out and says, you know what, y'all? I'm so grateful for some men who approached me. And they opened up my eyes to things that I hadn't considered. And I was wrong about my conditionalism position, and I'm going back to ECT. Well, then won't we feel kind of rotten? Because we don't always have to be out of the blocks with our critiques and our condemnation, certainly. We can be more pastoral. A good pastor knows that it is often wise to wait. He knows it. Because, you know, events happen in time. The story will unfold here. There will be more to this. And I suspect Kirk will talk about it more. I know the people will be talking to him. And who knows what the outcome of that will be. And therefore, until that happens, based on that, our knowledge of the little growing pain, based on the advice of John Newton, and based on the advice of our Bible that says, be slow to speak, that we can do some listening right now. We can engage Kirk on his ideas. We can do all of those things without slings and arrows as we simply act like pastors and wait to see how this thing evolves. Not that I can use that word, especially if Ken Ham is listening. Can we do that for a change? It's not the way that we typically handle things, is it? And maybe that feels hard because we like to... No, we like the fray. But let's just say for now, if you want to argue there's smoke, okay, there's smoke. Fire? Not at this time. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's Word? Or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the Word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy Word to humanity, through which He makes Himself known and continues to draw us to Himself.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes?
Please have your stopwatch ready. This is Wretched Radio. I hate to put this on you, but you're going to have to do some math. I just received a text from Phil Johnson. I'm not kidding. Phil Johnson sent a text, and it is, what's the word I'm looking for? Tragic. Tragic. It is genuinely wretched, and we will share it with you. With 6 minutes left, Jimmy, in this segment. 6 minutes. Okay. Do the math and interrupt whatever we're doing so that I can share this horrific text from Phil Johnson. 877-282-2337.
All right. We start with a text from Anonymous. Todd, my husband says I'm too obsessed with God. He says everything I watch.
What would that look like?
I don't know.
To be too obsessed with God. Can we? All right, continue. I'm sorry.
She says everything I watch and listen to has something to do with learning about the Lord. And I'm wondering if there's such a thing as idolizing God.
No. No, there's not. You can't even come close to idolizing God. No, typically when we think of making an idol, we think of something that's small g God. It isn't the actual true and living God. And so it's maybe not the most ideal word, but can you love the Lord too much? Not a chance. That's the first command, is it not? To love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So no, you can't love the Lord too much. But that doesn't really potentially help you with the dynamic with your husband, which is a little bit tricky because I don't know if the fellow is a believer or not. This is a delicate balance, and you might want to receive some counsel from somebody in your church, a man or a woman, an elder or a woman who has lived through this, where their spouse maybe wasn't happy with them because they were just being a little too Christian. How did they do it? Because on the one hand, you want to be sensitive and thoughtful. On the other hand, it's really not right or fair for a spouse to be agitated for you desiring to learn more about the Lord. Having said that, you're also married, and if you've got yourself a husband who's potentially jealous of the Lord, then that needs to be worked through. That needs to be talked through. And to do it for yourself for the first time, I think you'll probably step on some landmines, which is why I would encourage you, find somebody in your church who has lived in a similar dynamic, whether the spouse was saved or not, and just say, how'd you do it? What were the things that you did to keep your spouse from getting annoyed? Because you don't want him to be annoyed, whether he's a believer or not. And they'll help you to avoid those landmines. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Steve. Todd, based on our limited information, who do you believe died first, Jesus or the thief on the cross?
I'm thinking. I'm going to go with Jesus.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Because they had to come and check the body to make sure that they were dead. They broke the legs.
That's right.
So apparently they were still alive. And I was just trying to think if they gave details as to who it was, but they were amongst them. Everybody else had their legs broken because they hadn't died. Jesus had. So he got the spear up the side. No bone would be broken. And the water and blood flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Nor thorns compose so rich a crown? So I'm going with Jesus first. How'd I do, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's exactly what the text says.
All right. Well, then I guess we better agree with it. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is from Anonymous. Todd, you recently talked about that AI worship song recently. You said it was bad, the AI worship song. And he said, I disagree. I believe biblically sound words are good, whoever writes them.
But it's not a whoever.
That's exactly right.
It's a computer.
Yeah.
Okay. Who should be writing worship? Might I suggest, at the very least, it should be somebody, I don't know, with a soul. Second of all, Perry Atkinson at the Dove Network was just chatting with him. He said that they're missing something else, the AI writer of the song. They're missing the Holy Spirit, which I think it would be kind of important when you are preaching, teaching, or writing a worship song about God. And so the song itself was, musically, I didn't dissect it because I didn't have an interest. What I think made the song bad was the intention behind it, that we think that a non-human being can do what only human beings do. And so I think, once again, it's to minimize, I think, the status of image bearers. And I think it's a failure to remember just what a lofty privilege that worship is.
6 minutes.
I was waiting for you right there.
Okay.
Let me share with you now what might be the worst text we've ever received here at Wretched. It comes to us courtesy of Phil Johnson. Sad news, writes Phil. Jubilant Sykes. Do you know the name? He's an opera singer, Grammy nominated, sung at Carnegie Hall, but more importantly, at Grace Community Church for decades. Magnificent singer. He was murdered. Hold on, it gets worse. Phil texts, he was murdered by his own son. Ah. Jubilant sang the first time Darlene and I ever visited Grace Church in 1981, and he's been a fixture here ever since. He was my all-time favorite vocalist. He sang at John MacArthur's memorial service. And then he attached the article that was reporting the homicide. The police were called. He'd been stabbed by his son, who apparently has some form of what they call mental illness. He killed his own dad. And the wife was the one who called 911. So she saw the murder happen and she watched her own husband die. Ah, tragic on pretty much every level I can think of.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered, he will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Oh, my. By the way, the orchestra is the Grace Community Church Orchestra. First class. So was Jubilant. What a loss.
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the silent will speak, the praises of the Lord. Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding, he's the great.
What a loss. What a loss for his family. What a mess with his special needs son. And it's a loss for Grace Community Church. They don't really need that in this season when they're transitioning to a new pastor. So I guess we got some people to pray for, don't we? If you've ever been blessed by Jubilant, and even if you haven't, for his family, his wife, his son, that justice would be served. If his son indeed did do it, justice still must be served. And be praying for Grace Community Church. It's just another sting after suffering the loss of Dr. John MacArthur, so they could use our prayer. In fact, we really should be praying for Grace Community Church a lot these days. When you transition from a guy like John MacArthur, that's just fraught with all kinds of landmines, all kinds of dangers. And I'm not insinuating anything about Grace Church, but in a lot of churches, when that happens, sometimes you just see a vying for power and preferences, and it can get ugly. And we don't want that to happen at Grace Community Church. We want this to be a transition that is sweet and smooth and God glorifying. So I think we should be praying for them because it's a big deal. Grace Community Church is a big deal. Master's Seminary, Master's University, Master's Academy International. It's a big deal. And the steps that they're taking right now, they're really important. So be praying for them for that. And for the loss of their brother, who was such a blessing. What a tragedy. Jubilant Sykes. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.